Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Aisling Keenan, and this is Private Education. Welcome back, everyone, to Private Education, the Smart Sex and Relationships podcast. I'm Aisling Keenan, your host. Dre is over there.
Hello, guys.
I was wondering, welcome back. This is season two. I mean, not technically speaking. Technically speaking, it's episode 70-something. I can't remember what we're on. But we did one season of 12 episodes, then we took a six-week break, and now we're back for another season of 12. And we're taking the breaks because it's very difficult to do a podcast a week.
It is. And also summer. Hello,
summer. So, actually, speaking of summer, I've got a summery drink on the go here.
I have to be honest now, it looks like summer in a glass.
Can you hear my ice cubes clinking?
Yeah.
I'm just going to have a sup.
Beautiful.
It's refreshing. Mm-hmm. Andrea is drinking tea. It's different.
It's not summer. It's very winter vibe.
But very winter.
Here we are.
Yeah, slurps. I don't know. Is it ASMR or is it just
annoying?
Bothersome. Who's to say? Yeah, well, welcome back to Private Education. So we decided before we launch into what we're going to do this week, which is actually a really interesting agony aunt query that we got from a listener, a very loyal listener, actually. We said we would just, for anyone new, anyone who's jumping into Private Education from now, or anyone who joined us last season who didn't get the full rundown of what private education is, we said we'd very briefly explain.
From the top.
So I'm Aisling, and I started private education, I want to say 2019, maybe 2019.
Yeah.
And my motivation for doing it was because I didn't feel like there was any sufficiently fun and sufficiently educational sex content for people, mm-hmm. particularly in Ireland, but in general.
Yeah.
I felt like Ireland's curriculum for sex ed wasn't great.
It's limited.
I still don't think it's great. It's not very inclusive sometimes. It has come a long way, but I think there's a ways to go. And nobody ever really teaches people about sex and relationships. And so I wanted to make a safe space, an inclusive space, somewhere that Andrea is making funny faces at me. What?
Sorry, that was going to sneeze.
What is going on over there?
Sorry, I was going to sneeze.
You thought you were going to sneeze, so you thought you'd just...
I was trying to make eye contact to be like, I'm not going to say
anything
for a second.
Let's pause.
In case I sneeze. Sorry.
So that this is just a sample, you guys, of how professional we are at all times.
Sorry.
And Andrea joined. Andrea was on for episodes like over the course of the entire podcast, and then joined as a co-host at the start of the last season, just because a lot, like, I used to record episodes by myself, and it was incredibly difficult to talk for 60 minutes just me, and I wasn't sure if it would be appealing to anyone's ears either. So she joined on, and here we are, and we cover all sorts of things. We do relationship queries, we do sex queries, we from listeners, from people who write in and, you know, say, this is what's going on in my life, can you help me? We have experts on, we have guests on, we just try and have fun, really, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like you don't believe it.
No, I know. Sorry, no, I do.
We are fun.
I buy it.
I swear.
we're barrels of laughs. No, it's...
We're barrels?
Of laughs.
Okay. Continue.
Sorry, I was just going to say, yes, we are fun, but we're more...
We are fun, and we will tell you we are fun.
Well, we're frank frank, and yes. It's the advice that you'd hope your friend would give you is the way I kind of look at it. Like,
totally.
A good friend that you know, can tell you when you're being mad, or can tell you when you need to cop on. Mm-hmm. Do you know that kind of way? Or can tell you when you need to open your eyes and look the truth in the eye.
Yeah. Good one. Sorry, I'm always taking the piss out of Andrea because she always says mad things. She's well used to me at this stage. Yeah, so it is. It's friendly advice, but it's also very straightforward, I would say. Mm-hmm. And we don't pull any punches.
No.
But we always do it with your best interests at heart.
Absolutely. And we try and be as inclusive as we possibly can, mm-hmm. given our perspective as well.
Yeah. Like, and look, we're both hetero women. I'm married. Andrea has a boyfriend. We're both like, we don't have personal experience of the LGBTQI plus experience, but we are always having guests on and
yeah.
making sure we're using inclusive language where possible.
As much as possible.
Always on a learn. I think it's a learning experience for everyone, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like, 100%.
Literally, there is not one single person that I know that is fully like has everything down pat when it comes to making sure they're inclusive. Like, but I think once the intention is there and
yeah.
the intention is good,
mm-hmm.
And that's the main thing.
Exactly. And happy to learn along the way.
Happy to learn, always. What else about private education is key? We have we've had, like I said, a rake of episodes, and we have a very, very, very loyal and much loved listenership, I would say.
Yeah.
Our listenership is like, I recognize like so many names from the DMs and from the support on Instagram, which by the way is at Private Education Podcast. Sorry.
Podcast.
On Instagram, if you're looking to follow us. There's always content up there. There's always, we do polls, we do, you know, well, I mean, when I say we do, when the season is
kicking
alive,
yeah.
we do. When the season is off, we
have a holiday.
We have a break. We did have a holiday, but we didn't have, you know, we have other jobs. Andrea's a full time researcher with a PhD, and I am, you know, chilling.
Oh, absolutely not. A freelance journalist with a child.
I'm a freelance journalist with a child, yes. Both huge accomplishments, I think it's safe to say.
2 stars.
Oh,
that sounds bad. I don't mean you only get 2 stars, but I mean you get a star for each of those.
2 out of 5.
No.
Must try harder.
10 out of 5.
Ah. Yes, she's a doctor. Okay. Now, so, I'm getting a cramp in my leg. Oh, no. Not ideal.
Careful.
I'll move. So we are curled up on a couch, and what we're about to do. So as we record this, when the episode comes out, it is Tuesday. You are listening to this probably on a Tuesday, if not later than, what date is it today? The 31st of July.
Yeah.
So you're listening to this sometime in August, I would say.
We're speaking to you from the past.
We are speaking to you from the past. And we are speaking to you. We're curled up on a couch and we're recording this. And after we finish recording it, we are going to watch Love Island together.
The penultimate
episode. Very good, Andrea. Like, Andrea is looking at me as if to say, I know what penultimate means. It means second last. I love that for you.
Thanks.
So yeah, the second last episode of Love Island is on tonight. And it's the one where the parents go in to visit.
Yeah.
So... And I actually think, I was talking to Kate DeMulder recently, who was a previous guest on Love Island and a fantastic journalist and friend of mine. And I was saying that we're going to do an episode on the similarities between Love Island and the Gaeltacht.
Oh, and then you wrote your piece.
And then I wrote my piece. Well, yeah. Actually, the piece came before we chatted, but I wrote a piece for Patreon about Love Island and Gaeltacht and the similarities. And actually, I more so wrote it based on my Gaeltacht experiences and an experience I had in Ibiza when I was 16. Now, my sister was very quick to point out. She was like, Aisling, when you wrote that Patreon piece, it made it sound like you just went to Ibiza when you were 16. And I was like, I did. And she was like, yeah, you were with mom and dad. weren't that cool. I was like, no, absolutely I wasn't. And I honestly, when I wrote it, I didn't include the fact that my parents were there. But I just assumed that my Patreon audience would know I'm
context
so not cool. And therefore...
Not that you're so not cool, but that you were 16, so you weren't going to be jetting off to Ibiza on your tobes.
Listen, I... Maybe I... Look, put it this way. When I was 16, it's not it's not out of the realms of possibility that I could have gone to Ibiza by myself. But I wouldn't have been going to clubs. I would have been going to some kind of retreat where I could read or write or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
That's the type of 16-year-old I was. So, but yeah, it talks about basically this incredibly hot water polo player that I, you know,
took a shine to.
Took a shine to while I was in Ibiza. And it also talks about my first kiss in the Gaeltacht and a rake of other things. But we got sidetracked. We were talking about Love Island.
Yeah.
So Andrea has decided that she wanted to jam the microphone into her underarm and is now cocking her neck all the way to the right.
Okay.
Hang
on.
To speak shade. Instead of just holding it in her hand.
I get tired.
I know you get tired. Listen, it's late in the evening.
Have you seen my bruise?
It's late in the evening. What song? No, I sang the wrong song.
No.
No, you don't. I can't remember.
You look wonderful tonight. That's what it is.
That's what I wanted to sing. But instead I was singing the intro to I'll Say a Little Prayer for You.
Yeah.
It's late in the evening.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I say a little prayer. No.
Stop. We need to stop singing. People are going to turn off. Instantly.
We're not a musical podcast.
We're not a musical podcast.
Although, something else topical.
Musical podcasts?
No.
Musicals?
No.
Music?
Yeah.
Oh, well, obviously Beyonce's new album is out. Jesus. Hello. Biggest news of my life.
Three guesses.
No, I know. I didn't know where you were going with that. You were looking at me real funny. Beyonce. Oh, yeah. For anyone who's new. And for anyone who is here a long time who doesn't know, I am a very big Beyonce fan. So was Andrea.
This is basically a Beyonce stan podcast, but we just don't talk about it.
We are big fans. I've seen her live 22 times. I'm very proud of that.
Do you know what I just thought about? She's probably going to do another tour now.
Yeah, she probably is. My nerves are... My bowels haven't been right since she announced the album launch a month ago. Anyway, listen. It's brilliant. What's your favourite song?
I can't. There's too many.
I'm vibing on Alien Superstar. I also love Cozy. I also love Cuff It. I also love Energy. Look, they're all great. Yeah. But those are the ones that... it always evolves, though, for me. You know when you listen to a new album for a while? And you last full album I listened to was Adele's 30. Yeah. And like at the start, I liked the first five songs. And then as time went on, I kind of shifted towards the end of the album. Yeah. You know, that'll happen with Beyonce, I'm sure. But
they're all absolute bangers from start to finish, though.
I agree. And I love the sample of Donna Summer.
Oh, yeah.
Summer Renaissance, which is the last track, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's big news from our lives. How are you? Have you been getting on? Let us know.
Please do. We'd love to know how things have been going.
Send us a DM. I was looking at a tweet James Kavanagh put up the other day, also a previous guest of Private Education, and he was saying that the more mundane the content, the more he's into it. And he was like, have you done a haul at the supermarket? Let me know what you've bought. Have you bought some DIY stuff? Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Have you bought some cleaning bits and pieces? I want to know. And I'm deeply into like what people would ordinarily think is dull content. Like I want to see your
weekend
away in like a house in Cork with your family. Like that's the sort of like I don't want to watch you fly to, you know, Bali and go on a swing. I want to watch you like play chess with your uncle.
Show me how you put up the shelf.
An open fire.
Do you know what I mean? For your dishwasher tablets.
Absolutely.
Ah,
absolutely.
Hook it to my veins.
Do you have some kind of like, are you cleaning out your utility room?
Oh yeah.
I want to know.
Oh,
tell me about
that's
it.
The content.
So tell me what you're doing.
Oh, please.
Slide into the DMs with some.
With some
content.
With some news.
Some bits.
Give us some updates.
Yeah, let us know.
Harry.
I also think like we could do with amping up the community vibes on the Instagram.
So yeah.
Like, let's get chatting. You know, chat amongst yourselves. Chat to me. Chat to Dre. Let's chat.
Let's do it. Also, let's do a live.
We should do a live. The only problem is I hate my face.
Well, I don't, and neither do any of our listeners. So get over
it. You kind of stumbled over that. So I don't believe you for a second.
Because I couldn't remember. I was going to say any of our guests, but they don't hate your face either. But no, nobody hates
the guests. You're like, no, the guests all hate you.
No one hates your face. It would be fantastic.
Okay, listen, guys, if you're listening and you would like us to do a live...
I think we should put up a poll.
Tell us. We will. We'll put up a poll.
Ah.
That's what we'll do.
We can also get lightly blitzed.
You can get lightly blitzed. I don't drink. Although I did have one can on it when I was on holidays.
You love a gentle blitz. You love. Do you know what you love?
What?
I actually think you enjoy the sheer idea of you having a drink does for you what alcohol does for everybody else. You just have to be like, oh, I'd love an absolute mango. And then you'd be like, grand.
Yeah, no, whereas, do you know,
until I get two sips of a glass of wine into me, I'm like, ha.
Do you know, the one can I had when I was on holiday, now when I say on holiday, I was in the exotic County Louth in Carlingford with my family. And I had a can of Malibu and pineapple. It was fizzy. I drank it out of a glass with some ice and it was very refreshing. And I don't really know what compelled me to drink it, because obviously I'm teetotal, but I drank it and it was real, real fresh and lovely. Didn't really taste like alcohol, I'm going to say, which is probably why I liked it. But because my body is so intolerant to alcohol, I think I got gently blitzed for a few minutes because my legs started feeling very warm. And I couldn't really feel them. It was like, no, do you know what it was like? It was like I could feel the blood running through the veins in my legs.
That's it. There you go.
And it was, yeah, I don't know. It was unnerving, but not in a bad way.
You'll enjoy it. No, I'm nothing. You are teetotal. I could get blitzed. You could watch.
Exactly. Yeah. But listen, it doesn't take much for me to get, you know, no, get a buzz.
Listen, I don't even need alcohol. I'm drinking tea right now and gently buzzed.
We are kind of giddy but also tired, which is a funny combination.
It's danger.
Yeah.
I going to go to sleep? Am I going to say something that has to get edited out? Who's to say?
So yeah, now that we've revised our reason for being, our raison d'etre, and now that we have given you some information about Beyonce and our summers, let's talk about
Love Island.
That's where we started. So the Love Island final is on tomorrow. Or as you're listening to this, it will have already happened. So at the moment, the couples that are still left are... Now, if you haven't been watching Love Island, you don't need to switch off.
No.
Because we're not going to be talking about this for long.
Absolutely not.
We're going to get into the Agony Aunt question, which is fascinating, I think, to me. Well, to me it is anyway. Yeah. And it's quite relevant for you, Dre, in a way.
Yeah, it's true.
Because of your
situation.
Relationship situation. But anyway, the couples that are left are Dami and India, Paige and Adam, Luca and Gemma, who else? Ekansu and Davide. And who's the fifth couple? Who am I missing?
Luca?
I said Luca. Excuse me, I said Luca and Gemma.
Luca and Gemma, Paige and Adam.
Yeah, Paige and Adam.
Ekansu.
Thingy and Dami. Oh, Tasha and Andrew.
Oh, Jesus.
Of course. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of Tasha and Andrew, I'm going to say. That's probably why I left them.
Ubled, yeah.
Now, so that's who's left. Excuse me. Who do you think? This is a prediction now because we're recording this on Sunday. They'll be gone by Monday. So... who do you think is going to win?
I think potentially...
I'm having another drink. Can you hear?
I think, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do that quietly with the old cubes. And she's back. I think either Tasha and Andrew.
Or, do you think?
Yeah. Or...
I really don't think they're going to win.
Paige and Adam.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I really think Davide and Ekansu.
Oh, I completely forgot about them. Shit, actually, let me take that back.
Okay.
I would say Davide and Ekansu or... Okay, I think top three. The way I'm going to do it is...
Go on.
Davide and Ekansu win. Tasha and Andrew come third.
Third.
And Adam and...
Paige come second.
Yeah.
I think... No, do you know what? I hope... India and Dami win. But I think Davide and Ekansu are going to win.
Yeah.
And I think Andrew and Tasha will come second.
Okay.
And I think Dami and India might come third. I don't know if Paige and Adam will place.
Yeah.
And I don't think Luca and Gemma will place.
I really don't think they will because of the drama.
But also, like, Gemma...
She just seems lukewarm about life.
She is lukewarm. Now, I've actually, you know what's funny? I've watched her in Unseen Bits.
Yeah.
And like, she's much, much more crack in Unseen Bits. And she has a lot of crack in the villa. And she has a lot of crack with the girls. But she doesn't give Luca a lot.
No.
Which leads me to believe, I just don't know.
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either.
I don't buy it when it's gonna, when they leave the villa. I don't buy it.
I don't.
I don't mean when I say she's lukewarm about everything, as in she does look like a lot of crack. And actually, to be honest with you, she gave out some of the most solid advice.
Yeah,
she is. You know, as things were going on, she was like, don't listen to him. Absolutely not. Yeah. He's only doing this, that, and the other. And 9 times out of 10, what she told people would transpire. But I think when it comes to the relationship piece and with Luca, she just is in it for the long game.
Yeah. I think she's in it for, not even the long game, like, she's not with him for the long game.
Think she's for the show,
for
like,
the game. Yeah. She's playing a game.
But in the long game is what I meant, sorry.
I kind of think as well, like, she, I was saying this actually, I was a guest on My Pot on Paper with Orla Condon.
Oh, yeah.
So much crack. We had such banter. And actually, we had such good crack in spite of the fact that the episode, the night I was on, was a bit of a dud.
There's been a few of those this season.
Yeah, it was a bit of a snore. Like, it kind of was, like, you could have fast forwarded through most of it and not missed much, you know, the type of way. But yeah, I was saying it when I was on with her that, like, Gemma, when Gemma was kind of saying to Luca a while ago, oh, you know, I don't want to be your boyfriend, or I don't want to be your girlfriend because I have to get my mom's approval first, or whatever. Like, I completely understand where she's coming from, because your parents' approval is, you know, important with whomever you decide to date.
Yeah.
But I really, really think that if she wanted to be his girlfriend,
she'd be his girlfriend.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think anyone, she's very headstrong, and I don't think anyone's opinion would stand in the way. And so that, for me, I felt like that was a bit of an excuse to get out of getting into a relationship with him.
Also handy excuse if she gets out and she doesn't want to be, because she's like, my mom doesn't like you, see you, bye.
Totally.
Do you know?
It's a bit of a get out clause.
Yeah.
And I'm spelling clause C-L-A-W-S there, because I think Luca is claws in to that girl.
Tight grip.
Like, look what he's clawing into. He's clawing into, like, the daughter of one of the most famous footballers of all time.
Yeah.
Who is, you know, wealthy and has a beautiful daughter. And, you know, like, not to say Luca is a gold digger by any means, but maybe I am. No, I'm not. Anyway. So, yeah, I think, how do you feel the season has been this year? I don't know. I think
2019 was the last season that I wasn't bored.
Okay.
Consistently, or not consistently, but
they,
I mean,
they changed the rules, though, didn't they, to make it, like, and this is only a good thing, I want to make that clear, but they changed it to protect the mental health of the contestants. Like, they took away some of the more,
but
harmful
games
and challenges, and things.
But I don't mean even on that front. I mean more so, people seem to be so much more aware or so much less interested in playing up the game. So they're very aware that they're very aware
they're being watched. Like,
they're very aware they're being watched. They're very aware of how the public respond to Love Island. So straight away, they were coming in with, like, slang, and they were really quick to kind of just assume that this season's,
like,
kind of
Tasha bringing in her teddy bear flathead and making a thing of it in the same way that Molly Mae did with Ellie Belly.
100%.
Like, it's a bit, well, every time I see her with flathead, I'm like, ugh, you're no Ellie Belly.
Yeah.
Even though I had no connection to Ellie Belly, but, like, I just,
this is what I mean.
You can't, like, they know what they're getting into. Yeah. They know what they're doing. They're playing a game.
And I seen an interview with Laura Whitmore the other day, and it was for, I think it was for, like,
here's
the BAFTAs.
Again.
It's back. I think it might have been for the BAFTAs, like a snip for them. And basically she was saying, it's not a documentary, it's an entertainment show.
Yes.
And it's
which is very fair.
It's very fair. And also it's something that I think a lot of people forget, because it is crafted for entertainment.
It's very much crafted.
But it's almost as if they're not buying into the fiction contract, and they're not assuming, do you know what I mean? They're kind of, they're just not playing the game, and they're not playing the role that they're meant to do. Like, I remember one episode.
But I think they are playing, I think they're playing the game. Like, as in, I think they are,
so basically they're
working it, like,
yeah, but they're not, when they're not, I don't think they're working it in terms of the roles. They're not assuming the roles they need to assume. Mm. They're very much like, don't break the fourth wall. Don't look at the camera, but they're looking at the camera. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
so like,
yeah,
they'd be, do you know what I'm trying to get at here? Mm-hmm. They're not staying, they're not doing and staying kind of in character that they're playing. They're very much aware of what they're doing and how that's going to appear to the outside. So yeah, the amount of times Luca has kicked off and then very quickly apologized, mm-hmm, and everything that went on with Jax. And
but
even
do you think there's producer involvement there?
There's a bit of that, but there's always been that because it's always been an entertainment show.
There has, that's
like,
true.
That argument with Ekin-Su and...
Yeah, Natalia.
The most ridiculous.
So
and
staged.
The whole time Ekin-Su was trying not to laugh the whole way through it. You know,
yeah,
that way so she couldn't buy
thought,
into
yeah,
the
that
fact that
awkward.
That was meant to be a staged fight.
Into it, yeah.
Do you know, that's what I mean when I'm saying they're not buying
yeah,
in.
Yeah, they're not playing
and there just
it.
Seems to be a bit yeah. more of a vibe of that.
They're not playing the producer's game.
No.
Yeah.
And like half of it is they're meant to do the thing, entertain us in quotation mark, quotation. Do you know?
Yeah.
They're really, it's meant to be a show. And then they come out and they get a level of fame and success. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's a lot more resources and supports in place now given what's happened
yeah,
over the last couple
a lot of
years
mental health support
but it's
them.
As if they can't wait to get to that point they're trying to
yeah,
get out
yeah, yeah. They're just,
and they're not
they're just running down the clock
exactly.
until their Pretty Little Thing contract
100 that's what it feels like
yeah
that's what I'm trying to get at
yeah.
And I know that was a lot of fumbling but you know what I mean
I do I'm picking up what you're putting down
yeah.
I do think though that this year there was a lot of like the lads seemed really problematic all of them
oh
at
my
some
goodness.
Point or other. Like, there were so many times, like, even now, there still isn't one single lad in there that I'm like, I
decent
like
man.
Him. He's decent. He's good.
And again, now, we do have to go in with the pinch of salt to say there's a lot of producer involvement and
yeah.
it's an entertainment show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But...
And I think, you know what actually it occurred to me recently? I was reading somewhere that, think it was it on Twitter someone very wise on Twitter it might have been Richard Chambers or maybe Gavin O'Reilly who look they often tweet the same sort of
vibe
stuff so it could have been either of them I don't they're obviously individuals I don't mean that but and I like both of them certainly on Twitter but I think one of them was saying that people mistake Love Island for a Big Brother sort of
exactly
scenario. And it isn't because in Big Brother, the contestants are very much left to their own devices. They are deprived of things. They are, you know, there's food taken away. There's they only have the suitcase they go in with. They're not allowed pens, paper, phones.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many restrictions placed on them that the reality, their reality, if you like, is very much a reality TV show. But Love Island is...
curated
totally and like they have phones they are allowed to communicate off mic they're allowed to sleep in beds together and talk like when you watch Big Brother or when you watched it back in the heyday at least like
yeah.
Every conversation was captured
yeah
every moment was captured
mm-hmm.
That is not the case in Love Island we are very much seeing a snippet of and not only are we seeing snippets but we are seeing curated snippets
like 100%
and that look you could argue that Big Brother was the same, but that
but
was broadcast.
There was a live feed.
There was a live feed.
Do you remember on like E4 before it became
yeah.
E4 and there was tons of programming
it
on
hours,
it.
Like.
It used to just play out for the summer or whenever they were, you know, they were yeah. in there. So yeah, 100%.
And like they even had, they had the microphones on in the bathrooms. They
yeah.
weren't allowed to take them off. You know, they, in Love Island, yeah, they have microphones on the whole time, but like they take them off going to bed.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, have full sex in the bed so they're obviously having chats they're obviously talking and having conversations after hours if
yeah.
you like they also are allowed to get their nails done get their hair done
yeah you know and they're
allowed
to freshen
have days
up.
Off you know
yeah
so there's more happening there's so much more happening there than we get to see
yeah
and therefore some of the things seem a bit nonsensical sometimes you'll see a reaction and you'll be like what the hell
yeah
is that about and I think in a sense, I mean, it makes for good television often, but in a sense, on the other side of things, it is a bit irresponsible, I think, sometimes mm-hmm. of the producers to not be like, the context for this was
exactly
X, Y, Z,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And that has been, you know, to many of the contestants' detriment because...
Exactly what I was trying
like
to say
the
about
stuff.
I
think there was more to that that went on
yeah.
Than we saw. And I think it probably didn't do him any favours, but they had to get him out of there. You know, anyway, we're rambling now about Love Island.
We are, but I will say, I do think it's kind of getting to the stage now where it's getting too repetitive and I'm losing track of seasons because you could sub one into the other. Do you know that kind of way? There's very few.
That's like, not to say I have enjoyed this season.
Come here. It's been.
And look, we're managing to get 15 minutes of chat out of it.
There you go.
So they're still doing
we're
something.
We're getting there. Yeah.
My final wish for Love Island this year, 2022, would be for Ekin-Su and Davide to win and for Ekin-Su to take the money and run.
Oh my goodness.
That'd be the dream.
Do you think she'd do it?
No, I don't think she would at this stage.
Do you think Davide would take it?
No, I don't think so, because I think he'd know. If Ekin-Su did it, she'd be a national hero. I think if Davide did it,
he'd be hated.
He'd get so much hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he'd be smarter than to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
very smart. Will we move on?
Yeah.
Will we do our Agony Aunt question?
Yes, let's do it.
I'm gonna pull it up. I read this to Andrea already, but then she went. So I read it to her and then I was like, what do you think? And she was like, zip, zip. Don't talk about what I think because she knows. She knows. We keep the good keep stuff
it,
for the pod.
Keep it for the content.
So here it is. We got this. Now, this is in a while because obviously we had a break and it was actually something that was DM'd to me and I screenshotted months and months and months ago. So this is a little bit late and we may not be very helpful to the listener. But I think it's an interesting one to talk about anyway. And I think actually Andrea might bring some perspective to it because she is in a somewhat long distance relationship.
At the minute.
At the moment. So basically, we kind of soft launched Andrea's boyfriend onto the pod last season. And as in that we referenced that she was starting a relationship and then we referenced that she was a bit further into the relationship.
Yeah.
And now she's solid as a rock in the relationship. However, her boyfriend is, I was about to say bi-coastal, but he's not. He's international?
International.
What do you call someone who lives across two countries?
Fussy.
No, that's mean. No, I take it back. Your poor boyfriend. I do know his name, by the way, but we won't be revealing it on the pod. Out of respect for him, we're going to have to come up with a nickname for him, aren't we? Anyway, Andrea's boyfriend lives some of the year in Ireland and some of the year in Los Angeles. And so at the moment, he's in LA. And Andrea is obviously on my couch in Dublin.
Yep.
So her relationship is temporarily, at least, long distance. So I'm going to read this to you again for you at home. Am I gay burn? So that you guys listening can hear the query. And I just think there's many layers to it. And it kind of.
When you read it, the first section I thought was it, and then it continued into something that I wasn't expecting.
It took a turn. Yeah, it does. It takes a turn. It takes a couple of turns. Anyway, okay, here we go. Hi, Ashling. So excited you're coming back. Okay, so this was before we came back.
Yeah,
months ago. I would love you to talk about long distance relationships on the pod. I've been with my boyfriend for almost 5 years. Yesterday, he moved to Australia. It's not too bad because I have a visa and I'm hoping to move there in the summer. But I need to wait for them to be less crazy with the borders. He got in because he's a healthcare worker, she says in brackets. So basically, I'm looking at what will probably be 4 to 6 months long distance with an 8-hour time difference. We have a really solid relationship and have discussed the time apart and our future together a lot. Still, obviously, I'm a bit nervous and sad about it. Would love to know if you, your guests or your followers have any tips on long distance relationships in general. Another aspect is that we have decided to have a semi-open relationship for this few months we are apart. Basically, we are allowed to get with other people. We have some principles set out, e.g. we have to tell each other, we have to make it clear to the people that we get with that we're in an open relationship, i.e. so that the other person knows they are getting with someone that has a girlfriend, etc. No dating apps. And no getting with someone multiple times. So really, it just kind of allows for a situation where one of us is on a night out, for example, and one thing leads to another, and that this doesn't count as cheating. I'll be honest, it was his idea, and at first I was against it. It has taken me a while to get my head around him having sex with someone else, so I suggested that we do it with only kissing allowed. But he made the point that that would leave it open to breaking it because if you kiss someone, it's somewhat likely to become sex. I'm okay with it now and actually like the idea of potentially sleeping around a little bit over the next few months. Overall, we are stressing to each other that our relationship is a priority and keeping it solid is our top priority. So we are being flexible and can decide to close the relationship again if it starts to cause problems. Thoughts?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I know it's a bit unusual, so I'd like to hear what you think. From talking to my friends, they all said they wouldn't be up for it. I do feel very secure in my relationship, though, so I feel that it's okay to try. However, it was my boyfriend pushing for it the entire time. So there is a little feeling of, am I only doing this because he wanted it? Sorry for the crazy long message, lol. It wasn't crazy long. You had to get that. That was necessary information, I feel.
All the information in that message was necessary because context, context, context.
Everything is context.
Yeah.
So what do we think?
So
what jumps out at you first?
So what initially, so this is the turn that I was thinking around. The 4 to 6 months long distance is doable and it's achievable. And there's things you can do that makes it easier. Yeah. I'm in an 8-hour time difference as well. You just
different direction,
other side of the world. But you just, you know, before he left, we had a chat about it, and he basically said, "I would be prone to, you know, kicking off from time to time."
No,
all right, but you know, like, you know, I'd be kind of like,
no, you wouldn't.
We just kind of like, I'm a bit fiery.
Ah,
I'll accept that.
Okay,
or I'm a bit like quick to kind of do something and then be like, yeah, listen, this is what I meant. Anyway, so we said, no matter what happens,
impulsive
when it comes to reactions, I can be quite reactive.
You can.
And we basically said, no matter what happens, we'll just keep talking. So that it was basically a sense of like, don't just go sulk.
Yes.
Do you know that kind of way? Like, take time if you need to, but don't use communication as a way to get back at the person, because that's all you have when you're in a long distance relationship is communication piece.
That's lovely advice.
Yeah.
That actually is. Do you know what? We can end this episode.
See you later. No, we can't, because no, there's other things.
There are other things there. But on the topic of Love Island, what am I talking about? Topic of long distance relationships, that's where I was going.
Yeah.
That advice to keep communicating no matter what is spectacular, because you are correct. The only thing that you have at your disposal when you're in a long distance relationship is communication.
Yeah.
And there is nothing worse, let me tell you, than when your partner is not near you and you can't sense tone and you can't hug and you can't have sex or you can't be intimate to fix things. Like, I mean, you shouldn't use sex to fix your relationship, but when you can't physically sense
that everything's okay
to someone, and to know that everything's okay based on how someone looks at you or how someone talks to you or whatever, not knowing where you stand in your relationship, particularly if it's a relatively new one, can be terrifying. And all you want sometimes is for them to be like, to give you a hug or kiss you or whatever, just to give you a bit of reassurance. And so if you don't hear from them for a few days or a day or whatever, like whatever it is for you, like if it's a few hours or if it's like that can be torturous.
100%.
And you can't, in your case and in her case, I mean, the flight to Australia is not cheap. A flight to Los Angeles is not cheap.
No.
You can't just hop on a plane and go see them.
No.
We're not Beyonce. We're not like Elon Musk. We don't just, or Kylie Jenner, I was just about or Taylor to say, Swift,
the people have 3-minute flights.
Yeah, people who fly around on jets all the time.
Yeah.
Like, we're not, you know, we don't have those resources. So the only thing that you have is an agreement to communicate.
Yeah.
And if that's gone,
if that breaks down, it can make
things very, very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
So really, for anyone who's in a long distance relationship or about to enter a long distance relationship, that's, I think, the top advice.
Yeah. Just
like
keep,
there's obviously there's other things. Look, there's other things.
But I think that's the foundation of it. And then you build other things on top of that.
And I like that you made the agreement. You were like,
no matter what.
No matter what, mm-hmm. we'll talk.
Yeah. That was it. And like, so we have spoken.
Even if you're having a fight. Because look, relationships have fights.
Oh yeah, you go to like, you get pissy with each other, you totally. Know what I mean? Or you just get, often what I've found is, it's only been a few weeks and I'm going to see him again in a few weeks, like, mm-hmm. so I'm going to go over for a bit.
Yeah.
But some days it can be hard, you know, okay, so I'm a fan of a phone call.
She loves a phone call.
Ashley is just literally, she just rolled her eyes up to space. It's been ridiculous. No, but I do. I love a phone call. So
that's, and I hate phone calls. For context, I would rather fling my phone in the River Liffey than answer a phone call, and Andrea just rings me all the time.
I've gotten better.
She has, but Jesus. Anyway,
I know. But sometimes you just don't want to text, or sometimes you just don't want to have a phone call because you don't really have, like, there can be days when you don't really have anything to say, mm-hmm. because it's been the same as it was yesterday, especially working. Do you know that kind of way? Like, you're not on a holiday. Well, I'm certainly not on holiday. It's hard to
find something to chat about in the mundanity. You have a little
bit less common ground.
Yeah.
But anyway, it can be just about, just keep the comms going. One of the things that I've liked to do is be like, hey, what was the best thing about your day? And what was the one thing that you might like to have gone differently?
That's cute.
And then, you know.
Yeah. And I think, like, there are other things that make long distance relationships easier, like, you know, availing of phone sex or availing of FaceTime sex or whatever, you know. All those kind of things.
Yeah.
Those make the intimacy feel a little bit more real.
Mm-hmm.
But there's obviously so much more than just that to a long distance relationship. But I genuinely think you nailed it in one there, because the only thing I know from now, I've never had a long distance relationship. I don't think, I'm just thinking back here, scrolling through my relationship Rolodex. I don't think I've had anything long distance, but mm-hmm. anytime I was ever away from any of my boyfriends or anytime I've ever been away from my husband, like, the one thing that you want guaranteed almost from them is I won't stop communicating with you no mm-hmm. matter what happens. So even if you're having a fight, even if you're having a bad day, even if you are, like, whatever the case may be, keep the communication open, because otherwise it's very easy for worry, doubt, fear,
just the unknown.
Sadness, loneliness to set in.
Yeah. Do you know? When you don't know where you stand, your mind can be your worst enemy.
And when someone's not physically near you.
Yeah. You just don't get that sense of...
You don't get that sense of...
contentment or...
togetherness.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or the sense that, like, when you say, yeah, no, fight's off. Or when you say, no, I'm actually okay. Or when you say, I'm not in a bad mood with you, I'm just having a bad day.
Exactly. But that requires communication.
Exactly.
You can't just guess that from someone.
No.
Because oftentimes, you know, and I think, as women, sometimes, again, sweeping generalization, ding, 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 ding. But often as women, we can feel quite responsible for things sometimes in relationships. And, like, I know myself, like, if I feel there's something up with my husband, I will not assume that I've, you know, that it's my fault or whatever.
Yeah.
Or that I've done something mm-hmm. to upset him. But just, you take on other people's feeling sometimes.
Of course you do. Yeah. Because you care about them. So you really don't want you to be in bad form. Like, yeah.
Almost, if they're in bad form, you feel obliged to
fix it.
Either fix it or also feel in bad form.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's good to communicate those things and be like, no, I'm annoyed. Yes, but I'm not annoyed at you. It's fine. Don't worry.
Exactly.
Whereas if you remove the communication from that, all you have is two people in two different countries feeling sad about everything.
Yeah.
You know?
No, no need for it.
Now, aside from, sorry, what were you going to say?
I was about to say, so in terms of the long distance thing, let's park it. Okay. Let's just have a little step sideways here into the...
Andrea's about to get salty.
Open relationship.
Yeah.
That can work for people.
Listen.
However,
it's
an open relationship, I think, can work for people if both people had a conversation around it and agreed about it and it was something they wanted to do.
And I think this listener has agreed to it.
But it doesn't sound like...
But it seems like she's not very
comfortable. Yeah, she's not very comfortable with it. And also, I've never had an open relationship.
No, no,
but I can imagine that having been in... Was it 5 years she's been in a relationship with?
I think that's what she said. Will I check?
Yeah. Or well, that's not really... But it's not the length of time, but they have been in a relationship for a while.
Mm.
So then to change it to an open relationship after a significant period of time is just a little bit different, I would say.
And also, something that I was thinking about was, I was like, okay, why would they have agreed to give the green light to sleep with someone else while they're away from each other?
And basically, it's one night stands they're talking about.
It's kind of one night stands. So I was thinking, I was like, is someone... Can someone really be that hard up for sex that they need to, you know, when their partner is not going to be with them for 4 or 6 months,
mm-hmm.
or between 4 and 6 months, are they that hard up for the ride that they, you know, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever been that randy that I've been like, I cannot go for this 4 month stint without,
no,
you know, and also, because they've been together for so long, sex comes in peaks and troughs. Sometimes you're at it like rabbits 5 times a week, and sometimes you haven't done it for 3 months.
Yeah.
So like, I would imagine in their relationship, unless it's, quite unique and they are constantly boning.
Yeah.
I would say that they've probably gone through periods of time where they haven't had sex for a while.
Yeah, and if if they've been together for that long, that would be reasonable to assume.
It would be reasonable to assume. I think anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know what you guys.
I do. I agree.
Listeners think like I, but I think it's safe to say when you're in a long distance or a long term relationship, there are times where you go through dry spells and you don't have sex for a few months. So, what that made me think then was, I was like, no, I don't think that could be the reason. Like, it's not someone just being like, I am not going to cope without sex for 5 months or 6 months. Then it made me think, like, are they just using this long distance, I'm away from you for a few months thing as a way to get away with having sex with people?
It could be. And I can see that.
Twisting their girlfriend's arm into thinking it's a great idea. Is that what's happened here? Like,
I don't know if it's what happened. It could be. It really could be, because it does seem like she, even though she says like, I'm very secure in my relationship.
I feel bad saying that about her. Like, well, I don't know her. I don't know her, and I don't know her situation. But like, I do feel like
she expressed that she's comfortable in a relationship, but that this is all coming from one side.
Yes,
and it's all been suggested from one side,
and she does have doubt. She said,
But you know what? It bangs.
Oh, baby.
Anyway.
Did Ricky Martin get cancelled recently? I feel like he did.
Oh, shit.
I know. I can't remember. I think he had sex with his nephew. Sorry, that might be... He allegedly...
Can we be careful? And
no, I think I can't. Look, I definitely have this wrong. Ricky Martin.
We're going to cut this out. I don't know. Anyway, listen. I was going to say, this whole thing bangs of... There's a stink of... So they've been together for so long. So it's a case of maybe, potentially, I'm just throwing it out there, this is going to be the last time.
Live his La Vida Loca life.
He wants to live in La Vida Loca and then settle down for good.
Okay.
So it kind of reminds me, not to bring it back to Love Island, but you know when Casa Amor happens, they're like, it's a test. I have to be tested to find out whether or not this is real.
Yeah.
It's that bullshit. That's what it reminds me of. It's that kind of...
Keyword... bullshit.
It is. It's like, how will I know that you're the one for me if I don't have sex with all these other people?
Do you know what? I don't understand that at all.
I don't understand it, but I feel like that could be what's happening.
I mean, you make an act of... Look, of course, it's much easier to live your life going around riding whoever you want.
I don't know if it is easier.
Well, I mean...
I think that would end up being problematic, but...
I think it is.
The trail of people that you leave behind you, do you know? No, like, do you want to be with any of them? I don't know. Anyway.
But like, it's... Look, relationships are work. Getting into a long-term relationship is work.
Yeah.
Staying in a long-term relationship is work.
Yeah.
Giving up the right to willy-nilly have sex with whoever you want, that's a choice.
That is a choice.
And it's a choice that you have to actively make on the daily. And you have to be happy with that choice and What are you laughing at?
Just like, then daily you wake up and you're like, I swear today I'm not going to have sex with somebody else. I know that's not what you mean, but no, just when you're saying you make that choice.
Yeah,
daily.
No, you don't, basically, like, you don't wake up and, you know, do 10 minutes of yoga and then go, okay, will I have sex with someone else today? No, I won't.
No, but it is that I completely understand.
You get the concept. Yeah,
100%.
Like, when you choose, like when I chose to get married, that was me choosing.
Same dick forever.
Same dick forever. Yeah. And that's a choice that you make. Mm-hmm. And it's an act of... aware, you know, so like if he has gotten into this relationship with her and they're in it for 5 years, it's obviously serious. It was previously monogamous.
Yeah.
It's a bit rich now to all of a sudden be like, I'm moving to Australia. Now, in the next 6 months, I'm going to ride whoever I want. And I hope that's okay with you. In fact, why don't you do it too? It just feels a bit fishy.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean. So it's like it's like I want to have my cake and eat it. So my safe cake is arriving in 4 to 6 months time. The flavors I like is going to be here. But what if I'm actually a pineapple upside down cake?
Yeah. What if he is a pineapple upside down cake, or what if that's what he's looking for?
Either or.
So like, yeah. So his favorite meal is arriving by airplane in 6 months.
Yeah.
But maybe he wants to try a takeaway down the road.
Maybe he's never had sushi.
Maybe he's never had sushi.
I've never had sushi. Listen.
I've had sushi loads. In fact, I had sushi yesterday.
Oh.
I was craving some.
Craving some sushi. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a case of this is time and space that we're apart.
Yeah.
I would feel guilty if I had a one night stand without telling you. So how about
I tell you?
How about I
convince you it's a great idea?
Bingo bango.
What a bastard.
However.
Yeah. Sorry I called your boyfriend a bastard. But listen, like, I just feel like he has swindled her.
I feel a bit swindled. I feel a bit swindled on her behalf. Especially because it's all been... coming from one direction.
Oh my God, Andrea, do you know what? We're going to be able to follow this up.
Oh.
I'm going to message her.
Oh, please do.
I'm going to DM her because this is, she's probably there now. So I'm going to DM her and I'm going to be like, listen, how are you getting on? Are you back together?
Did you sleep with anybody? Did he sleep with anybody? What happened?
How's it all gone? I'm going to be able to follow this up.
Mm-hmm.
This is brilliant. We're going to get the tea. We're going to get the juice. That is if she's willing to give it to us. But I hope she is.
Fresh tea.
Steaming hot tea.
Tea update. But what the other thing is though, if we just try and look at it from the other side.
Okay, what side?
His side.
Okay.
Okay, so if we don't assume
that he's a
bastard.
Okay.
Or he mightn't be.
Right.
And he could be seeing it as it, the things that are kind of making me go, I don't understand that. Like, no dating apps.
Yeah. Is that because, so what I'll give you my perspective on that. The no dating apps and the no sleeping with the same person multiple times thing to my mind, seemed like it was to avoid an emotional connection.
Yeah.
So. Because I mean, I've never been on a dating app. That makes me feel old, but I haven't because I was.
Well, it's not that you're, no.
Do you know what I mean? I was in relationships and I was in a committed relationship before.
You've never had a need for a dating app.
No, I haven't. But that's not to say, that's just because they weren't, like, I have had a need in the past, but they just weren't around.
Yeah.
But I haven't been on them. But I can imagine that when you are chatting with someone, communicating with someone for, even a matter of days, you know, in a couple of weeks, you do get an emotional
connection
to people. And likewise, if you sleep with someone and then sleep with them a second time or a third time or a fourth time, you do develop a certain level of emotional connection.
100%.
And a kind of pseudo relationship starts to emerge.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the feeling that that's what they were trying to avoid with that. So it's like, stick it in whoever you want, but don't fall in love with anyone.
Yeah.
Or don't start fancying someone else or start, you know, because look, you can have sex with someone and it can genuinely mean very little.
Yes.
For both sexes, for both genders or for all genders or for whatever gender you identify as. And I think it can mean very little, but if it continues, if it goes on, if it happens multiple times, or if you chat to someone for a long time on a date nap
and it leads up to sex, then it means more.
So I think that's probably what that meant, I would imagine. That would be my read on it anyway.
It's hard to understand what he wants.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, I think get having his cake and eating it is the
That's it. I think that's
phrase.
The, yeah, I do. And I would just say to the listener to just really, like, obviously, I suppose this is advice for somebody that's not necessarily in this position now, because this is a couple of weeks old or months old at this stage and we're going to try and follow up. But if this was fresh in our inbox and we were, I would say just really consider a couple of months time, 2 months in, are you going to be comfortable with a text on a Sunday morning or so, whenever, I don't know what the time zone is, but it's probably late in the day or early in the morning or whatever for them. Are you going to wake up to a text message that says, went out last night, slept with somebody, have a great Sunday? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So how is that going to land?
I bloody would hope that after 5 years they weren't doing that through text.
I don't know, the relationship.
I would hope. Imagine you get Snapchat. They'd hop on a FaceTime. I would hope that they'd hop on a at least get an old WhatsApp video call going and be like, listen, I slept with someone last night. And I don't, you know.
But what I'd say is, it's okay as an idea, as a concept.
As a concept,
you can agree,
yeah,
to a hard now to be like, you're going to do your thing, I'm going to do my thing. Yeah, but actually, picture yourself either receiving the text message, receiving the call, receiving the FaceTime, where you're going to hear that information. And are you willing?
Are you okay with that?
And are you going to be able to cope?
And I think as well, like she said at some point in the message there that she was happy, or she kind of was like okay with the idea of maybe sleeping around a bit over the next few months or whatever it was she said. But that's all very well and good in theory. Like, I'm sorry, I don't know. Maybe she had like loads of offers. But I'm pretty sure if I tried to sleep around tomorrow, I'd struggle. Like,
I don't think you'd struggle. I just don't think you put your, you don't, you're not.
But I don't think it's as easy to sleep around as people think.
Well, not if you're not using date naps.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, granted, I live a very quiet family life and I don't, you know, I don't be going out to the club. But like, I still think.
Yeah, you'd have to go to the club.
Yeah.
Or at least to the bar.
You know, you'd have to go somewhere.
But nobody talks to anybody like that anymore.
That's what
anyway.
I mean. I think it'd Although, be difficult. Without date naps, I think it would actually be difficult to
do it.
Just sleep here. Around. Yeah.
Because the culture here is very much.
I don't think it'd be difficult in Australia. Where
this is what I mean. Mm. So I feel like, and also like being the new guy in town that's Irish.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to sleep with him? No, I know what you mean though. Yeah, it's probably appealing to
do you know what I mean? So I think there's that. But also the other thing that she should think about, or a person in this situation should think about, is how will you feel having to ring your boyfriend and say, hey,
yeah,
went out last night.
There's always going to be an imbalance,
sides.
Isn't there?
There's because, both sides, yeah.
Because what's going to happen is someone is going to do it first.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen for both of them on the exact same day.
No.
And they're not going to ring each other the next morning and be like, I had sex with someone. Oh my God, so did I. Oh my God, cool. High five. Off the phone. Like, that's not. I don't think that's going to happen. Feasible.
No.
What do you think?
I don't think that's going to happen. I think given the context of the Irish dating scene, and I've only been out of it for a short while.
Yeah.
You know it. What I know of it is, it's going to be a lot harder for her to have one night stands, given just the culture that we're in, the social kind of aspects of going out now, than it will be for him. So I think in that, to that kind of end, he's probably going to do it more than she will have the opportunity to do. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And that imbalance is probably going to seep in. And also think about, these are all just tips, if you have to make, if you receive the phone call or you make the phone call, how comfortable are you going to be when, like, what are the rules around it? So is it, I tell you that I've had sex, or do you want to know more? Do you get me?
Yeah.
So is that going to, I think you have to be really clear. And then the other thing.
About what level of information to go into.
That either are willing to hear.
Yeah.
And then the other thing as well is this closing the relationship again piece. Who makes that decision?
Mm.
Because how about this?
See, it's just come with me on this journey. We don't know. We don't know the logistics of this. We don't know the details.
What if he doesn't like the new cake? What if he absolutely is happy with you know, Red Velvet doesn't want pineapple upside down.
What if he's riding rings around himself and loving his life?
And what if, no, no, what if he's not?
What
if he's not? So what if he tries it and doesn't like it? Okay. But what if she likes it? And then all of a sudden, does he come swooping back in and go, this is a closed relationship again? And she's, well, hang on a second, pal. We only opened it.
Yeah.
It's only been opened a Wet Wednesday.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you have to think of all eventualities.
There's so many variables.
Can't keep track. I'm going to have to do a spreadsheet.
We love a spreadsheet. Yeah. I don't know. I think, well, obviously we're too late to give live advice to this person. This is kind of advice for anyone in a similar situation.
Exactly.
I am going to follow up with her and check.
I'm so excited to hear more.
But I think the communication thing in long distance relationships, sorry, my head's my hole. In long distance relationships, the communication thing is key. But then also we have so many questions about the logistics of this open relationship. Open relationships as a concept are not bad. And also, you know, if both parties or every party in a relationship agrees the terms and conditions and knows the actual literal consequences of that decision, i.e. the hard conversations that you have to have, the detail level that you want to go into.
Part of me would like to say, if you're thinking of doing this, do it before they leave. Make your relationship open before they go.
Before they go, yeah.
Because all the stuff that we said about long distance relationships, can you imagine not being able to sit in a room with someone and then say, I still love you, but I've had sex with somebody else.
Yeah.
And take that over a phone call or a video call.
That's very difficult.
So if you were going to do it, I'd say do it now before they, and obviously not now, but you know what I mean, but before they leave, so that you've done it in the same country.
What I was going to say was the level of detail.
Mm, that's the thing that blew my mind as I started I put myself in that situation to be like, hello.
Okay, so which one are you? Because for me, I am, give me every detail now, immediately in my face, so I can use it as a self-harm device almost.
Mm.
Isn't that like, it's bizarre. And I don't know why. Like, I remember needing to know really graphic details about exes that I've had and their past relationships. And this wasn't even like, this wasn't a cheating scenario or an open relationship scenario. This was just, I need to know in great detail what happened with your exes. And it's not because, like, it was all above board. They were allowed to do what they were doing.
Yeah.
But there was something, it was like an itch that I had to scratch. And when you get an itch, you know, when you get a bite or something and you're like, don't scratch that. It'll just make it worse. It'll just make it hurt more.
Mm-hmm.
And then you scratch it. And then you scratch it more. And then 2 hours later, you're sitting there with a hairbrush scratching the leg off yourself.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Yeah.
And it's satisfying in a painful way.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely understand.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, so I would be very much of the, like, so say if this was me.
Yeah.
And my partner was, you know, moving to Australia and going to sleep with other people, I would literally be like, and what colour underwear was she wearing? And were they nicer than mine? And where is, did she have, you know, what was her body like? And was she noisy? Was she quiet? Was she, you know, did she do this? Did she do that? And how did you react? And what was your, like, I would be killed.
Mentally.
I would be so curious to the point of it being detrimental to my health.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you be? Because I feel like you'd be different.
Yeah, you know what I'm like.
You're severing the limb. I never want to hear about it again.
Yeah, and that's the, because I don't.
I knew you'd be.
I don't. I know that it would consume me.
I didn't know what you were saying there. I just heard "cun" and I was like, oh.
It would absolutely consume me to the point of never sleeping again. I know I'd be up. So what I do in a situation like this is,
Don't tell me anything.
And I say in a situation like this, this has happened, but I mean, even when it comes to exes, which isn't the same, but my MO of breaking up with somebody or ending something is
just goodbye, good luck,
let's block each other, never talk to me again.
Yeah.
And not because sometimes they end, actually none of my relationships ended very well. Like
But I remember you saying to me before when one ended, you were like, I wish I could move continent so that I could be assured I would never have to run into him ever again.
That's it. Because I just don't see, because that thing for there for me is, I don't want to see you with somebody else and think about all the stuff that we would have done together, not just sex, but you know, all the relationship stuff. And then that's the face of the person that you're doing that with now. I don't need that in my head. So instead, I don't want to know what you're doing. I don't want to know where you are. please stay out of my life.
So if that was you in the listener's situation.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be agreeing to an open relationship, A.
Well, no, but say you
B,
had.
Yeah.
Right? So say you are her, the way she currently is, yeah, in an open relationship with her fella who's living in Australia.
Yeah.
Would you be on the phone being like, okay, you slept with someone, that's all I need to know?
I think what I'd like is I would rock back a step because they said they've agreed to tell each other.
Okay, so you just
would just be like, you know what?
Do what you want to do.
Don't tell me a fucking thing. And also, God, really? Have enough respect for me that I don't find out. That's what I'd want.
Ah.
I'd want an A, don't tell me anything. Don't tell me anything. And a B, never. I would end the relationship if I seen a text message or if, because I need to know nothing.
Nothing.
It's kind of
that
like,
is so mad because I'm the complete opposite.
It's kind of like Schrodinger's cat. Is it alive? Is it dead in the box?
Yes.
You'll only know if you look.
Yeah.
I'm in a state of, it's a quantum state. Don't tell me.
Do you know what? Just for those few seconds there when you were talking to Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah.
I looked confused. Yeah. And the reason is, I was thinking about Chekhov's gun. Which is another function of narrative, you know.
Yeah, different. different.
Sorry.
But
different,
you know what I mean?
Totally different. I do. And I think I this is why it's like, it's so mad because I'm so different from you in that respect. I would need to forensically examine everything.
Yeah.
I would need to see every text message. I would need to know every move of every hand. I would need to know every kiss. I would need to know every second of everything.
Yeah.
And not in a sexy way. Andrea's like, oh, you're playing yourself a little porno there. No, I would need to know everything and it would be painful.
Yeah.
And I would hate it. But I couldn't move on with my life if I didn't know exactly what had happened so I could process it and talk myself through it and then move on from it.
Mm-hmm.
If there was anything left unknown,
yeah, any stone unturned,
I'd never sleep again.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that you would never sleep again if you overturned a pebble.
Yeah, like, because what'll happen to me is if I overturn a pebble, that's it, that would be that relationship over.
Yeah.
I know it would.
Okay.
Be.
Yeah.
I couldn't, because I'd never let it go.
Yeah.
I'd never.
No,
let
you
it
see,
be.
I
don't think I could stop.
If I didn't find out anything, I'd have to end the relationship because I couldn't cope.
That's so funny.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Opposites attract, right?
Oh my god.
Anyway, on that note, I don't know how much value we were to the listener.
Listen, we've given points of view.
But we've talked. Listen, we've talked.
We've talked, you've listened.
We've talked, you've listened. And isn't that the point of a podcast?
Yeah, and also
jokes.
To get involved.
Yeah, get involved.
So there's gonna be please DM us. Please
DM
message us.
Us.
We have an email address.
We do. What is it? privateeducationpod@gmail.com.
Jesus, I'm gonna have to learn that.
I think it's easy enough.
privateeducationpod@gmail.com. Okay.
Exactly. Yes.
But
DM us, yeah. Tell us, email us your problems because we want more of this content. Now we are gonna have guests on starting next week. We have some real good guests lined up for this
lined
season.
Lined up and hot. And also when we've got polls up, when we've got question boxes, give us a shout. And as it's
tell us things.
As it's the first episode back of the season, what I'd like to say is, if you enjoy the podcast, leave us a 5-star review.
I love how you never say, leave us a review. You say, leave us a 5-star review.
Because you know what? People would leave a review. They would.
Yeah.
But you may as well ask for what you want.
Ask for what you want.
And
you
do you know what? This is it. And the listeners are so good.
Yeah.
They'll do it.
They are. Like you guys, honest to God, I would have well given up this podcast already if it wasn't for the listeners.
Yeah.
And I mean, that goes without saying because you don't make it to be not listened to. But like the encouraging.
The gang.
Yeah, the gang. You're a crew. You know what I mean? The gang, the like messages and being encouraging, the messages being nice, the messages.
The PE gang.
We are the PE gang. We are. And we brought our gear with us this week.
Yeah.
No,
that's.
Because like it really. It makes it worth making, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
To have all the feedback and all the crack and
the engagement.
And also, I think it's very special that this sounds very twee, but I think it's very special that people trust us enough to DM
share.
Us their
yeah,
like very personal
information.
Information. Very, very personal.
Yeah.
And there's actually someone that I've been meaning to follow up with that sent me some deeply, deeply personal information a while back, and I I didn't feel it was appropriate to cover it on the podcast, mm-hmm. but I replied privately and I gave them some advice, and I also gave them some links to some counseling services and some places that I thought that could help them out.
Yeah.
And I need to follow up with that person, mm-hmm. because I really, like, that's the level of loyalty and involvement and love that
we have
in the private education community, mm-hmm. you know? So I will do that. So yeah, if you're that way inclined, give us a review. We'd love a few stars.
Five.
Or if you wanted to leave a comment and say, you know, I like this episode or whatever it is.
Oh yeah, get
any support. And share in your WhatsApp groups.
If you can't, if for whatever reason you don't feel like it's an appropriate place to be posting on your Instagram or your social media, because maybe you've boss. Got work people, or maybe you've just got a community there that,
aunt,
you know, whatever it is. And you're there. Listen, it could be any reason. Share it with one person that you think would enjoy, because that will propagate.
New people.
Waterfall.
Absolutely.
Don't go chasing.
Do chase. And on that note, we will say, until next week, stay safe.
Have fun.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.